We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
All right, get your hands in the air. Here we go. The weekend's here.
How much does he get paid for that?
Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It is a Friday, TGIF. We are ready to roll. Chris is on vacation today and Monday. Rick Church, giving the people what they want.
I don't feel good about myself, Craig.
Do you feel a little dirty inside?
You feel dirty.
I do. I got to be honest with you, though, Pete. I think Craig almost kind of, in a backhanded way, threatened me a little bit earlier.
I didn't threaten you. The listeners did earlier.
Remember, like, when Pete said, you know what, Rick's the producer, he gets a shot, and Craig goes, but if it hurts our audience, that was kind of his subtle dig at saying, you better do the right thing, mister.
Well, our audience was clamoring as early as like 1:45 this afternoon.
Come on, we've seen the clamor go both ways on this, you know, over the years, right?
Well, I'm Memphis Tom.
Yeah, I still think it's 50-50.
I do too.
Look at these texts. Better Than Faith is giving you thumbs up. Gator Nation, thank you, Rick. Faith, yes. Green Falcon, Rick Church, a gracious man. Appreciate him.
Number one cowboy hater, Rick equals clutch.
Yeah, gas pump
Dopey.
Guy.
I'm
yes,
so
you
disappointed
go,
in you. Dopey's
the disappointed. Only one.
Oh, nope, paratrooper lost all respect for Rick.
Paratrooper's
Dan.
Down.
Mm-hmm.
Thirsty Nick. Rick is the goat. I mean, you're getting a lot of props.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, literally, do you feel the power right now? All of Southwest Florida is swaying back and forth, driving right into the weekend, and it's because of the joy you just gave them, Rick Church.
Yeah, I felt a lot of pressure during that break for sure.
I got to tell you, man. I know on Real Talk tomorrow with Captain Deb is at 7, right? You start at 7?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you got to play this during her show tomorrow at some point.
Why? Does it mean anything to her?
We have a ton of our texters that listen to Captain Deb.
Yeah.
And she's great. And that show, and it cracks me up sometimes when I'm listening. All our texters, our regular texters are calling. She's trying to figure out the origins of their name.
don't encourage them, Pete, please.
Sometimes
I can see the text coming already tomorrow.
Yeah.
Rick, you going to play Miley?
I think you have. At least, I think you got to. Not the start of the show, but when coming out of a break at 20 or 40 pass or something like that, maybe. Just to say, as an experiment.
Yeah, because our audience isn't going to be up at 7 in the morning.
Yes, they are. Rick knows. They are up at 7 in the morning.
I know.
A lot of guys that work second and third shift, they're up.
Yeah, or out fishing.
By the way, we have breaking. Honestly, we have some big-time breaking news here. Seriously.
Rick's busy answering the phones, talking to the people. Go ahead. Okay. No sounder. Breaking news. What do you got?
Jeff Passan, right at 5 minutes before 4:55, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred told MLB Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark, that if the sport doesn't do a better job managing the coronavirus, it could shut down for the year. The league and players recognize the coming days are a critical juncture, obviously, of what's going on. Jeff went on to say in his tweets that the conversation between Manfred and Clark was not a threat but a reality check that was relayed to the players and has spread quickly among them. We, all of us, need to clean this up because if we don't, Major League Baseball in 2020 is going to be over. And this weekend is seen as a crucial juncture for the sport, both in terms of hoping for the limit of positive tests and in players abiding by protocols. Local health officials have been troubled by the lack of mask wearing, high-fiving, spitting by players, according to sources. So
it sounded like a threat to me. He says it's not a threat. It sounded like a threat. It's like, you guys get your act together, or we're not playing ball.
Yep.
And don't forget, the owners really didn't want to play anyway because this costs them money with no fans. Look, 20% of the league's not playing. We got 6 teams sitting out. 2 more Cardinals players testing positive today, so the Cards Brewers was canceled today.
We don't know how that's going to affect Minnesota and Cleveland players either, because they were the last 2 teams in contact with them.
The Marlins are taking a bus full. They got up to 20 people now. They're coming back to Miami finally from Philadelphia. The rest of the team's staying in Philly to await further instructions. This is like the sick bus. It's unbelievable. So they're coming, bringing them back. But and then again, Major League Baseball had another ruling yesterday. They said any doubleheaders now will be 7 innings each, and that is. It's easy to deduce. It's because baseball knows it's got a lot of makeup games to do, and they're going to have a hell of a lot of doubleheaders. Well, and they can't go 9-9, so they got to do 7-7 to make this reasonable. But like you said, you got to get through this weekend, and you got to get through next week. Otherwise, you're just going to have too many holes to fill in the schedule, yeah. And they're going to have no choice but to scrap the season.
I said it from the beginning. I didn't think they'd get through 60. I'm not confident at all they're going to finish this season. And one of the state and local governments have pressured baseball about players skirting the mandates outlined in the league's 113-page operations manual. Sources are telling Jeff Passan broadcasts have shown players not wearing masks, which is true. Mm-hmm. High-fiving, absolutely. Spitting. Now, I haven't seen – I should look for spitting more. I haven't seen a lot of it. But
I've seen one instance that I remember, and I go, hey, that guy just spit. He's not supposed to. I've
this
seen
high-fiving
it
and spitting has left government officials wondering how seriously players are taking the protocols.
Hmm. Okay.
So
– oh, hey.
The concern there's concern about off-field choices with one high-ranking official telling Jeff Passan, quote, there are some bad decisions being made, unquote.
And he's not just referring to the Marlins?
No,
for everybody.
No, okay. Everybody. Yep. Again, the Cardinals, the game against the Brewers, postponed today, rescheduled to a doubleheader tomorrow. You know about the Marlins and the Phillies, who played Miami on Sunday. We're missing scheduled games, leaving 20% of the league's Friday slate empty.
They also slipped this in, by the way. The Players Association and MLB agreed to a new set of rules that will punish players and team personnel who steal signs electronically.
Yeah.
Those that do will
just
be subject
in the nick of time.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently there was nothing on the books before. That's why no players got punished. It was only managers and management. So
Pete's Kryptonite says, am I the only one intrigued by a sleeper bus and think it would be a cool way to take a road trip across the country? I said it. It's like, you know, Wrath of Khan or back in the original Star Trek when Ricardo Montalban was Khan and the Enterprise came across a derelict ship and it had 72 canisters, all in cryogenic freeze. Khan got awakened first. The other two stayed in cryogenic. So, yeah, I totally agree. Wouldn't that be – maybe that's how the Marlins are headed home on the bus trip back to Miami.
We need a nickname for this bus. I mean, it didn't have a creepy feeling. Not like a death bus or anything, but feels creepy. And, like, I guess you walk on there, you've all got it. What are they paying the drivers of these buses?
Well, that's the other thing.
Good
and
Lord.
You don't know, but you don't. And where have those drivers been?
No, I'm more worried about the safety for the drivers because he's taken a busload of people that are positive with COVID. Yeah. Presumably, they're healthy. Now they got to put themselves at risk. How much would I have to pay you, Pete Shepard, to drive a bus full of people positive with COVID-19 down from the north down to the south tip of the country? How much would that cost you? Or cost
first,
me?
The bus would have to first of all, I would have to be isolated in the driver's seat, like in a little cubicle.
Yeah, but you're circulating the air.
No, I would have. Well, I would have. It would have to. You would have to show me that fans have been blowing air back at them. You know what I'm saying? Like the fans are blowing back at the players on the bus.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, and $500,000.
There you go. All right. It's got a price. It's got a price.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pete Shepard has a price. All right. Some other interesting. We talked about this earlier. Right about this time yesterday, there was news coming out that LeSean McCoy has signed with the Buccaneers. So they got themselves a third down running back to help out Ronald Jones. We had a pretty good discussion about this in the first hour. I would rather it be LeSean McCoy from, 8 years ago, but it's better than what they got now.
Still interesting, and it's still it's another weapon on that offense for Tom Brady and company. It should be, and again, he doesn't have to be the man. He doesn't have to give it a whole bunch of touches, but it gives defensive coordinators something else to think about.
Yeah. And then the big news in college football today, the Pac-12 – announcing they're doing 5 home, 5 away, conference only. And they finalized that today. They are going to have their championship. I had this all scribbled out. It was December
18th or 19th, same as when
at
the,
a home
SEC.
Stadium. Whoever the
at a home stadium.
Yeah, not in Vegas or anything like that. So could
and
be
I believe it's one division, so.
Yeah.
And all the big games are scheduled at first, you know. The biggest game, though, is Oregon-Utah, I believe. Those are the two best teams. I still believe that. And that's not till the end of allegedly the last game of the season. But UCLA, USC, and other big-time games are in the Pac-12 are scheduled first.
Yes.
Just in case.
And the ACC is doubling down on its 10-plus-1 model where they will play one non-conference game. Now, we presumed it was for the SEC, but the SEC says, no, we're doing conference only. So lots of possibilities here for the ACC. Maybe a team like Central Florida can keep its two ACC games against Georgia Tech and North Carolina on the schedule this year, among other things. And the Big Ten is saying, the Big Ten was the first one to come out and say we're doing conference only. And then they didn't say a peep. And now they're saying, yeah, that's still the plan, but we also reserve the right to not play. And don't be fooled by the SEC and the ACC and the Pac-12 coming out with their plans. We may still put the kibosh on this and not play at all. And that's according to Pat Forty.
Yeah.
But if we do play, get ready. We don't want to risk the season starting and then stopping and then not get our season-ending rivalries. Be prepared for a possible September Ohio State-Michigan tilt, for example. How about that?
And Oklahoma-Texas and a lot of other huge big-time games, Alabama could have it. You brought up a great point. What about Alabama-Auburn to open up the season?
Could be.
Possibility. Or Alabama-Florida or Alabama-Texas or Florida-Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, there's so many possibilities. But just real quick, back to baseball. Rob Manfred is just taking a beating, and he's being asked to resign by many media people.
anybody of note?
Keith Olbermann is one, but
he's cranky.
He's one, but he's getting criticized because when he's telling do better, well, you're the commissioner. You should have known. Not you should have known, but I'm telling you, that 113-page, whatever he put together didn't sink in. And I don't know if it was specific enough. What I told you, other reporters have said, it wasn't. And now this is what you get. And now they're on the verge of shutting down baseball.
Well, I think it goes back to what Gabe Morenci said. The bubble works. The non-bubble doesn't. And if you think football is going to go any differently than what baseball is going through, I think you're crazy because there's more contact there.
I'm with
there.
You with that.
And I expect the NBA and the NHL to go pretty smoothly, to be honest with you.
I think so, right out of the gate at least. I think so. But like I said, it's tough to do a bubble in baseball to keep, you know, that many people, talking over 30, you know, players, coaches and staff and everybody. It's a little tougher to do. And where were you going to do it? Florida, Texas, Arizona? I don't know.
I mean, is Orlando big enough to have brought the whole sports world down here? How many baseball fields they got in Orlando? I don't think they had. See, originally, back when we were first talking about this, states like Arizona and Florida had really low cases, and they were going to use all the spring training sites. No problem. Now we're ground zero for everything. Can't be here playing outdoors or mixing in hotels and all that kind of stuff. So
Trailblazers up 68-60 at the half. Orlando beat Brooklyn by 10, 128-118. Cha-ching.
All right, very good. All right, well, we got that. And by the way, Gabe gave us a couple of hot tips. I might have to look into some MLS soccer just to make some skittles this weekend. Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Our good friend Sean in the Cape is checking in, Friday check-in, going into the weekend. Sean, how are you, sir?
Happy Friday, fellas.
Happy Friday. What's on the agenda this weekend?
Oh, I got done with my first shift of work. I'm getting ready to work my second job, but I'm pretty much working all weekend because I'm actually going to Busch Gardens next Thursday.
Are you?
I'm trying to get all the money for it, yep.
Yeah, all right.
Me and a friend are going up there. It's her yearly trip up there because she goes to a college in Tallahassee, so every year she comes down here and we go hang out in Busch Gardens together.
Wait a minute, who is this that does this with you?
It's a friend that I've known since freshman year of high school. She ended up going to a college in Tallahassee, so we don't see each other much. So
define friend, Sean. Sean, define friend.
Okay, let me put it this way. It's more of a, I used to date her in high school, but we've been like on and off.
Okay, so something.
How long you been off?
About a year. We've been off for a year.
Ooh.
Yeah, about a year now.
She seen anybody now?
Yeah, what's the situation?
No.
She pretty?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Of course she's pretty.
Well, of course.
Then, she'd have to be.
I mean, are you working an angle here, or are you hopeful, or what? You know, because
let me ask you this.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens. You know,
will you bring? Where are you meeting her?
Well, she's coming down to Fort Myers, and then we're going Thursday up to Busch Gardens.
Yeah.
Because she only got a week here, so.
Will you have flowers ready for her when she comes?
I can try it. I don't know what time she's coming, so I might be during work, so I might have to wait till after work.
But you are going to do flowers.
I know the day.
Okay. All right.
Even one single rose.
Oh, that's very romantic.
With some baby's breath.
And a lot cheaper.
I'll have to see what I can do. Like I said, she only told me the day. She didn't say the time, so I'm kind of in the dark on the time on that still.
All right.
All I know is the day she's coming down and when she's leaving. So.
All right, and this is
next
week.
A woman's prerogative, yep. But Casanova, Sean, good luck.
Hi, Sean.
I'm going to light a candle for you tonight.
Good job. Well, that's next weekend, Pete. We got a whole other week to drag out this drama.
I can't start too early.
He's working. He's earning the money to pay for this trip because the man always has to pay for everything. Moving to next weekend.
She just moved into her apartment in Orlando, so, you know, I got to try to help with something. I can't make her, you know, I can't force her to help pay for stuff. Like she told me she'd help do the gas, but you know I'm not going to force her to pay for a lot of things because I know she just moved into her apartment in Orlando, so I'm going to help her out as much as I can so she can save her money up.
You're very thoughtful. You're a keeper, Sean. Yeah, is she a Giants fan like you? Who's she like in the NFL?
No, she's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Oh, do you two play each other this year? I don't have the schedule in front of me.
We do.
What about college?
How's that going to go?
Week one.
What about college?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, week one. That's Monday Night Football, week one, Steelers-Giants, yeah.
I don't really watch college football as much because I never really grew up watching it. Like, my brother's a fan of it, but I just grew up watching the New York Giants play and the Miami Dolphins because that's who my dad usually had on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a Giants fan. She's a Steelers fan. At least she's not an Eagles fan. That's what I'm happy about. It'd be really interesting if she's
tough.
An Eagles fan. So she chose the better team in Philadelphia, that's for sure.
All right, Sean, thanks for checking in. You have a fantastic weekend. All right, good luck with all that.
All right, you too, guys.
I appreciate that. Very good.
Now, this is interesting. Buddy Keith Smith, who's been on with us, that, you know, covers the NBA, and he lives in Orlando.
Yeah.
And he just tweeted out a really interesting tweet because it looks like we're going to get a bit lucky here in Southwest Florida with this hurricane that it's going to miss us, and it's only going to be like it'll be some gusty winds, maybe 20-30 miles an hour, but not a whole heck of a lot of rain,
right?
And not any more than we've been getting on the last couple of Sundays,
right?
However,
yes,
the East Coast is going to get it pretty good.
Yes.
And he tweeted out, you know, Central Florida, Walt Disney World is one of the places people flock to when there's a hurricane.
Right.
And Disney has their own power grids. All hotels have their own backup power. That's kind of the best place to be in the area when a storm rolls through. And, you know, it's something to consider, particularly probably on Sunday, if that hurricane, you know, going through. And I just hope everybody stays safe. And are people going to evacuate? I don't know if we're there yet because it's a Cat 1. I don't think it's going to strengthen any more than it has, but it's certainly...
I heard it was going to be a 2 for a skosh of a minute and then be back largely a 1. In fact, I think, and I'm looking at it right now because I was just as you mentioned it, I was kind of checking it out. I think it wobbled back west just a skosh. So we've got tropical storm warnings for Miami, Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, Port St. Lucie and Vero Beach, and tropical storm watch for the Lake Okeechobee area and all. But like you said, I don't, you know, this doesn't appear to be anything we have to worry about here in Southwest Florida. But yeah.
No, but we'll definitely get some rain. It'll be a little windy. The East Coast definitely.
We're still in the cone, by the way.
Yes, we are.
So you got to keep an eye on it. Yeah, it just wobbled west just a hair.
But if it wobbled west another smidge again, that's a different story now.
But it looked okay, and here's an update, because the original projections, it was going to remain a 1 and then become like a 2 around Puerto Rico and then back to a 1. But now it looks like it's going to stay a 1 the entire time. That's good news.
Yeah, because I think it weakened a little bit. It couldn't form as much heading over the Dominican.
Yeah.
When it crossed there, they were talking about that. But
there you go. As you know, I did get an A in meteorology. I'm doing the best I can. Yeah. But pay attention.
Do any hurricanes?
When we get to hurricanes, I'm going to tell you, pay attention to the professionals. Not me. I'm an amateur. I'm an accurate amateur, But pay attention to the prophetic. We have very
There are people that are really geeky. And it's a great hobby. People, and I mean all over the country, that love to track this stuff on their own.
Well, we have great weather people, whatever news channel you like in this area here. They're all fantastic. So more power to them. All right. Don't forget, on Monday, we are going to talk with Mike Greenberg of Mike and Mike fame. He's going to start his new show on ESPN Radio.
Time's he coming on Monday?
He'll be on at 3.
Oh, good.
And so, but his new show will be from 1 to 3, but we're only going to carry an hour from 1 to 2 because we're not moving. And, I'm still getting texts. People are just now learning that Golic had his last show today. And does it affect us? No, we are local. We are locally owned. ESPN can do whatever it wants nationally, but locally from 2 to 4, we're staying here. It does not affect us one iota. And a lot of people were worried about that. No, it doesn't affect us at all. We're not part of their national lineup, even though we could be, but we're not.
We should be.
Exactly. All right, Sheeman and Shepherd on a Friday on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Here's his Friday go-to.
Yes, Todd Rundgren. Love it.
See, everybody's satisfied today. It's all good. Miley at 5, Todd at 5:30. Good tunes. Getting you ready to get into the weekend, which hopefully will be hurricane-free. It's looking good, though. Looking good. All right, a couple of quick headlines in case you're just tuning in. Again, Rob Manfred warning the baseball union that the season is now at risk. We got 6 teams not playing here today or tonight. The Pac-12 approves a 10-game conference-only schedule. Antonio Brown, 8-game suspension for whenever he comes back into the NFL. And Bill Belichick says his quarterback race is wide open. There you go.
They got to do better. They got to do better. By the way, this just coming in from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. The Rangers, Texas Rangers, have identified 2 members of their home radio booth at Globe Life Field. They have tested positive for the virus over the last 10 days, including Matt Hicks, their Ranger radio broadcaster. Wow. Good guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Team has taken immediate safety protocols, sent all media members who have come in contact with the 2 individuals home. No media will be allowed back into the facility until they have received negative COVID-19 test results. Team also announced that radio broadcaster Eric Nadel, who received a negative test result, will opt out of working the weekend games. The Rangers also thoroughly sanitized all media areas, including the Globe Life Field broadcast level and all broadcast booth. So the fans, Jared Sandler, will handle play-by-play for the series, be joined by a former Rangers David Murphy and Mark McLemore throughout the weekend. The crew plans to broadcast in separate booths at Globe Life Field. And yada, yada, yada. But, boy, that stinks.
Yeah, that does. That does. Look,
now, did any of those players come in contact with any of the media?
Supposed to.
No, but the media members, did they come in contact with the radio booth people at all? Like sitting there as a guest for a pregame. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
You know, get out of the media members on a pregame show. And then after that, did they have contact with the players?
Could have. Very well could have.
Wow. So the 3 teams to watch this week are the Texas Rangers, the Cleveland Indians, and the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, and I would say also we don't want any more reports of what was it? Who had 2 more today? The Cardinals. See if that's are just the first 2, or if that's just a spot 2. I would keep an eye on that. Look, this is a very critical weekend for Major League Baseball. If the season is to continue, if we come on the air on Monday and we got 8-10 teams not playing and more players tested positive, this thing's a wrap. This thing's a wrap until next year.
Yeah, and there's still time to straighten it out. They're not there yet. There's still time to straighten it out, but they better move their collective tushies and just start doing the right thing. I don't know these protocol violations, but apparently it was not made clear enough in that 113 document that Commissioner Manfred put out there, which was my argument at the beginning of the week. I'm not exactly sure specifically what's not being followed, but right now, not working great.
No. The bubble looks good. NBA, zero tests since mid-July. Games are underway. By the way, Portland up 70-60 over Memphis with 11-12 to go in the third as they resume second half action. So, and by the way, that looked like that was a great product to watch last night.
It was fantastic.
Even their virtual fans did not look hokey or stupid. It looked cool. It looked like a good. It was made for TV. A lot of effort put into it, and a lot of effort on the floor. Those players looked pretty good. It was entertaining. So I'll be watching more of that this weekend. And we'll have some of it on here on 99.3 ESPN as well as some Red Sox baseball, as long as the Red Sox are still. Red Sox Yankees this weekend. Remember that?
Starting tonight.
That used to be a big deal.
Starting tonight. Could be the Red Sox, took the last two from the Mets, so we'll see.
Yeah. Just saw a weird story from Bob Herrig on ESPN about Bryson DeChambeau.
Of course, he's so well-liked.
Well, yeah.
Not Bob, Bryson.
Yeah. Bryson says that his plan is to live to be 130 years old, maybe 140. Look, he's into health and all this stuff now, but, yeah. Jeez.
Great. Wonderful.
More weirdness from Bryson DeChambeau. The way he's eating these days. I know he's got it's muscle now, but you know what's going to happen. It's going to turn into flab. It's going to be a health problem later on.
Well, how old is he? I don't know.
23.
Long way. Well, 23. Well, you got him at 43. But who did I see that lost all that weight? Was it Marco Mara or Colin Montgomery? Somebody lost 40-plus pounds.
Really?
Yeah. I was watching Golf Channel earlier today before we get on. It was Colin Montgomery or Marco Mara. They look great. One of them looked great.
I knew Bryson DeChambeau was a large man, but yesterday I watched him at St. Jude. He's standing next to Ricky Fowler, who's a diminutive man. And it looked like Shrek standing next to Kevin Hart, somebody tiny. It was really extreme. By the way, Kevin Hart, maybe you didn't see it because I know you saw all the TNT stuff pregame and all that. Did you hang around to watch postgame after the late game last night?
I didn't.
Kevin Hart joined the guys. It was hilarious. Oh, really? He was just ripping on Barkley and Shaq and making fun of them. It was hilarious.
They were great before the show. They were great, We get off the air. I put them on. I had Finney on, listen to Sankey. Then I put TNT on right away. Yeah, and they were terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, how about? Did you see what Kenny going behind the board at halftime of the Pelicans game? The board, beaming in with his mask on.
No, I didn't see.
And
that.
He came out with. Oh my God! What was it? A cake?
Really?
He came out with something. He came out with something. Wow! How could I not remember this?
He beamed back out.
He had because it's funny because he beams in and he's standing on the floor next to. He was pointing out something, I think, with LeBron, that was because it was they were doing the second game preview or something.
Yeah,
and it literally looks like he's standing on the floor next to LeBron when they froze the picture.
Yeah.
Then when he beamed out, he had a pastry box or something. What the hell was it? Was it donuts? Anyway, it was quite funny.
Could have been
donuts. The way they do that.
Would have been funnier if you could have remembered what he was holding.
Well, it would have been, but the funny part was him beaming onto the floor. It's a riot how they do that.
Yep. Tonight, your Celtics in action against the Bucks. Our guy Gabe Morenci, he likes the Bucks in this one just because they've just been smoking it. And then later on, we got Kings and Spurs, and then Rockets Mavs. You can hear that game tonight on 99.3 ESPN.
Again, college football with a Pac-12, I still think it's one division.
You want to just talk? You know what? I'm going to give you a homework assignment for the weekend. You've been really hung up on that. You spent the entire 4 o'clock hour trying to find out. Just you find out this weekend and you text me.
Well, I'm on UCLA's schedule, their webpage now, and now I don't know if this means anything. The Bruins hit the what does it say? UCLA opens a 10-game slate Saturday, September 26th at the Rose Bowl. The schedule also features meeting with remaining Pac-12 South mates and dates with North foes California, Oregon State, Stanford, Washington. That tells me nothing. But the chart that they put out there is the same type of chart that was put out there by the ACC, not the SEC, but right. the ACC. Also, do you realize that the September 26th date, because the UCLA will open up against USC.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yes, that's for sure.
Right.
That is the soonest the crosstown rivalry has met since, can you guess, when the programs met twice due to restrictions during World War II. Oh, I just gave it away. 1945.
I'm going to guess 1945 there, Pete.
You were correct.
Yeah. Lots of things happened during 1945, 1919. A lot of big stuff going on. So, yeah, get ready for September because they're thinking about moving the rivalry games early. You have Southern Cal versus UCLA, Michigan and Ohio State leaning toward playing at the beginning of the season, still the end. Oklahoma, Texas, perhaps. How about the Iron Bowl? These things are being discussed here this weekend if they want to get mm-hmm. college football off the ground, anticipating that maybe they won't be able to finish it. And if they're anything like the Major League Baseball model, I don't think they're going to be able to finish. Got to have a bubble. And if that's not practical for your sport, then you can't play.
And COVID testing results from last week. Last week per MLB, Major League Baseball. Number of samples, 11,895. 29 new positives, 0.2%. 20 positives were players and 9 were staff members. 21 of 29 positives were from one club. Other 29 clubs had 8 positives, 2 MLB players, 1 alternate site player, and 5 staff. But that doesn't include what happened last night from the Cardinals.
No.
And it should be concerned for the Indians and the Minnesota Twins as well.
And speaking of the state of Florida and testing, now, I was told they were going to shut down testing today and tomorrow because of the hurricane coming when it looked throughout the southern half of the state. So that's going to skew the numbers next week. Because people aren't going to be tested. So you'll see Florida numbers go down probably at the beginning of the week next week. That's because nobody got tested.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 4th of July weekend all over again where they went down, but then they shot back up again. So who knows? I never know what numbers to believe. I'm sick and tired of this whole thing. But
anyway. Certainly, I know you guys agree with me at the beginning of the week or disagree with me, but and maybe you agree now, is that you know the worst thing that they did was after the 4 Marlin players came up positive, and John Heyman said, you know, though I saw players roundly criticized for deciding to play, that shouldn't have been left up to them. It shouldn't have. That's where it should have been somewhere, I would think, in those 113 pages, is something should have been there. Because the worst decision been made was the league allowing the Marlins to play the Phillies after it was clear Miami had a COVID outbreak. That's not on the players. It's on other people.
Well, it makes you wonder where they drew the line for an outbreak versus isolated case. Because they let Juan Soto, he tested positive on day one for the Nationals. He did not play, but the rest of the team did. They haven't really had a problem since. Maybe 4 players was like getting close to the edge where they maybe could have, would have, should have, or didn't. But they did play, and it got worse.
And Scott Miller, who's a national MLB columnist for Bleacher Report and Turner Sports, he just tweeted this out. MLB internal investigation found the Marlins were very lax in following protocols. Craig, I think you brought this up during the Atlanta trip last weekend.
Yep.
Players going out, players in hotel bar, that kind of stuff. And lots of MLB people were very unhappy with Miami.
And I would say normally, well, you know, there's a lot to do in Atlanta for a single man. But
where's Derek Jeter?
So is Miami. Yeah, where is he? Cheater, don't get me started.
Well, I know, honestly, I mean, but of course, look, you can say, you can scream at these guys at the beginning of this till hell freezes over. Apparently, it didn't sink in because they're going out, they're at bars, they're staying out, they're at hotel bars, they're gathering together, and
yep,
is what it is.
All right, on that note, we need some good news here. We need it this weekend. We got What You Got coming up next. Don't forget Rockets Mavs tonight at 8:30 here at 99.3 ESPN. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
What You Got brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, and scenic views. On this day in history, we celebrate birthdays. Actor Wesley Snipes, writer J.K. Rowling, a lot of sports birthdays. Kirk Gowdy, Bill Bidwell, Bill Callahan, Mark Cuban, Kevin Green, the linebacker, Hall of Famer, Scott Brooks, Andre Ware, Gus Frerotte, Chris Winkie, Jonathan Ogden, Tim Couch, DeMarcus Ware. Good day for quarterbacks, by the way. We lost Andrew Jackson, our 17th president on this day in 1875. In 1930, Lou Gehrig had 8 RBIs, grand slam and 2 doubles, and a 14-13 win over your Red Sox. Take that, back in 1930. 1932, the Indians christened their new home, the old Municipal Stadium. 76,000 people showed up in 1932 to that one. How about that? During the Depression, too, they lost to the Philadelphia A's 1-0. In 1972, Chicago White Sox Dick Allen, seventh player to hit 2 inside the park home runs in 1 game, both off of Burt Blyleven in an 8-1 win over the Twins. Pete Rose got a single off of Phil Niekro in 1978, his hitting streak up to 44 games. That was his last one, right? I believe
that was a 44-game streak. He passed Wee Willie Keeler, I remember, yes. I think, during that hit.
Yes, he did. 1981, mid-season strike by Major League Baseball players ends after 42 days and a loss of 713 games. Good times. 1988, the Dolphins beat the 49ers 27-21 in the American Bowl in Wembley Stadium. So remember, we did a preseason game in London. That was kind of first foray to going over there regularly. And in 2007, your Celtics obtained 1 Kevin Garnett, 7 players for 1 player.
Steal.
And a chip. You got a chip.
And a championship.
All right, Pete Shepard, what you got?
Almost 2. Well, a couple of things. One, the NHL has conducted roughly 1,500 tests per day in each of the hub cities, meaning Toronto and Edmonton, since Sunday. These tests have been processed in 24 hours or less, and as of today, there have been no positive test results in Phase 4.
Good.
Meanwhile, the report I just read to you about Scott Miller, about the MLB investigation, internal investigation, found the Marlins were very lax in following protocols during Atlanta trip last week. And this is where we're going to start. I guarantee you, within the next 24 hours, you're going to start to see a lot of film or start a lot of pictures. Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald, says, Marlins and MLB are not commenting on the report that I just tell you from Bleacher and Turner, but very damning if true. The Marlins have declined to say if players left the hotel in Atlanta. Their only comment has been that they're gathering all the facts, which sounds suspiciously like yes to me.
That's a long way of saying yes. They did not do what they were supposed to.
Yep.
Rick Church, nice job filling in for Chris.
Rick Church, awesome.
Be back on Monday.
Thanks, fellas. I'll be here.
Do you have a last word? Anything?
No, intriguing? I don't want to end the show on a negative note, you know, but I'm just... baseball, just pull the plug, man. Just put us out of our misery now, okay? Just do it.
No, string us
up. And you know what's frustrating? And I'm sure I'm going to be a complete jerk for saying this, but no. We're still like less than 2% of players are testing positive, right, in baseball. Have you heard of any of these players being hospitalized or being put on ventilators or anything? And I understand they have families, but they have an advantage that none of the rest of us don't have. They're being tested like every day or every other day. Yeah. So that gives them plenty of time to quarantine and to do what they need to do. It's maddening. It's coronavirus fatigue. Just pull the plug.
The problem is the Marlins are going to have to field a Triple-A team, a bad Triple-A team. And it's looking like a lot of other teams may be headed in that direction, and nobody wants it. That's not going to be good for anybody. If all these teams begin to start to have to quarantine, 17 players. I know we're not there yet, but that's the problem.
Is it really, though?
Well, they're going to make them quarantine. You know, I'm saying they could make them quarantine whether it's right or not, but that means whether they have symptoms or not. But that means you're going to have all these scrubs in there that, nobody's ever heard of.
It's okay, man. It's baseball, I guess. I mean, are the Marlins really better than a Triple-A team on any given day anyways? I mean,
Memphis making a tremendous run here down the stretch, and they take the lead 82-81. They were down by 12. Yes.
Does it almost feel like just kind of put us out of our misery? Because we all know where this is headed, right? Or am I being too negative?
I think this weekend is very
critical. Yeah. I think if we could pull out of this, we could turn the Titanic around. But, boy, Rick Church with a hot take. Doesn't say anything for four hours. It just puts the average out.
Tomorrow, Captain Deb, Miley Cyrus at one of the 20 breaks.
Make it out. Okay, I will. Just for you.
Memphis is pulling away.
Somebody's got Skittles on that one. All right, very good. That'll do it. I think that's enough. What a week. Yeah. We made it into the weekend. Barely. For Rick Church and for Chris, for Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great weekend, Southwest Florida. Talk to you on Monday. God bless America and the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.